Seriously, say seriously. Bringing a close to our study on Psalm 91, all right, with part 9, this entitled Complete Salvation, all right? We're going to vary a little bit, and then we're going to get back to the psalm, because I feel like the Lord has ordered that, okay? But I don't know about you. I can't speak for you. But I have learned so much in this study, amen? How much God loves us, how much he wants to protect us, how much he wants to just be involved in our life, how much he wants to see his promises activated in our life. I hope that you've enjoyed it as much as I have, and I don't know what I'm going to do next week because I'm so used to doing Psalm 91. But anyway, it's time to make our Bible declaration, our weekly Bible declaration. So if you would just stand with me, please, and take your Bible in your hand and raise it towards heaven, all right? And say with me, are you ready? All right. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. Today I will be taught the Word of God. I'll boldly confess. My mind is alert. My heart is receptive. I'm about to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the Word of God. I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name, let's go. Amen. Let's go. Let's go. Please turn with me to Psalm 91, and we will read the text for today, which is verses 14 through 16. All right? Psalm 91, verse 14, through the end of the psalm. Excuse me. All right. The Bible says, because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. Now, this is God talking to you and I. I will set him on high because he has known my name. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. What a great promise. Amen. That means that we can pray to him at any time and he will answer us. It says, I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. Can you imagine God honoring us? With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. Amazing. Just in those few little verses, how many promises, how many ways he can show us that he loves us. Amen? Amen. Gary, could you come up and pray for the message, please? It is quite quiet in here today. Have you noticed?
No.
I have already noticed that it's quiet in here today. I'll shut up. Go ahead.
Can you say amen?
Amen.
Amen. All right.
Let's pray. Thank you, Lord. Father, I pray that you would just get our exciter excited today as we are in this place, God. In your presence, Lord. Father, as we touch you today, God, I thank you, Lord, as your word goes forth, Lord, that we will get a hold of it, Lord, that we will take it in, God, we'll process it, Lord, and we'll accept it and do it. Lord, we thank you for Pastor Wes. God, help us, Lord, to respond as we all just responded today as he preaches, God, that will encourage him, Father. And we just, God, just thank you for today. Thank you that you come to church with us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Gary. All right. Again, verse 14 says this. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him, I will set him on high, and then I want to focus on this last part, because he has known my name. All right, because he has known my name. I will set him on high because he has known my name. So I guess the question for you and I is, what does it really mean to know his name? I mean, I would think that we kind of understand that. We read, we pray, we seek his face, we listen for his voice, we include him in everything that we do, okay, hopefully. We include him in our work day, we include him when we're out having a good time. We include him when we're fighting with our wife. I guess some people do that. All right. All right. But what does it really mean to know his name? And what does that really entail? Now, I'm not trying to discourage you from witnessing, because we need to do that. We always need to do that. But if truth were to be known, just about everybody in the United States has some knowledge of God. All right? Some knowledge of God. Truthfully, you could ask people if they have heard of God, and their response would most likely be, yeah, I have heard of God. Because again, most people have heard about him. And because of that, they would probably say that they know him, okay? They would probably say that. But having a knowledge of God is different than knowing God, all right? Having a knowledge of God is different than knowing God or knowing his name. And just having a knowledge of God isn't what God is talking about here when he says what he says, okay? So let me ask you another question this morning. What do you think is the proof, or what is the evidence that someone really knows the name of the Lord, really knows his name? And the answer is, there's probably many proofs, but I would like to touch on one of them today. And this is where I'm going to vary from the psalm, okay? I'd like you to turn to James 1, 21 and 22. James chapter 1, verse 21 and 22. This is out of New King James, because I'm just going to quote you out of King James. Therefore, lay aside all superfluity of naughtiness. And I thought maybe this would make a little bit more sense, okay? Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your soul. But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Let me read verse 21 out of the NLT. So get rid of all filth and evil in your lives and humbly accept the word God has planted in your hearts, for it has the power to save your souls. One of the ways that you know God is how you would answer this next question. Are you willing to make changes in your life? Are you willing to make changes in your life? Are you willing to make the necessary changes in order to really know who he is? When I look at my life is vastly different now than it was prior to knowing Jesus. And there's been a lot of changes that I've had to say okay to. Come on. You'll find that all the changes that happen in your life, you have to approve them, or God doesn't do them. All right? But ultimately, it's God who will change you. I'd like to draw your attention to the words in verse 21, James 1:21, that say, lay apart, or as the NLT says, get rid of all filth and evil in your life. These words are taken from the Greek word apotithemi, which is a compound of the words apo and tithemi. The word apo means away, all right, and the word tithemi means a place to lay something down. When these two words are compounded together, it gives us a picture of someone who is laying something down, and at the same time, they're pushing it far away from themselves. All right? So this compound word means to lay something down and to push it far away and beyond your reach. An example of this, and I just couldn't think of a decent one, I guess, but would be a person who would or who is about to join with their friends in taking part in, say, gossip or illegal drugs. Let's do illegal drugs, okay? Let's say cocaine. Are you with me? Really? Okay. Okay, so they're about to partake of the cocaine. They're about to snort the cocaine or smoke it, whatever they're going to do. But suddenly, they realize what they're about to do. And instead of joining in with their friends and getting high, they choose instead to lay it back down on the table, and then they deliberately shove it away from themselves, knowing that if they keep it close to themselves, they would weaken and give in to the temptation. Amen? Amen? They lay it down, all right, and then they push it away. Do you get what I'm saying? Okay. This is the idea of this word that James uses when he tells us to get rid of all filth and evil in our lives. We should lay it down and push it away. We should accept the change. We should yield to the changes that God wants to make in our lives. How many of you have had changes in your life since Jesus has come into it? Amen. Amen. So we lay them down, we lay that thing down, and we push it away. It often makes me think of smoking, okay, for me. I quit smoking, okay? And this was before I got in the ministry, okay? Are you guys alive? Oh, the time change. Here we are. Okay. All right. I'll talk slower, okay? But it reminds me of that. And there was years that I would not even pick up a cigarette butt to throw it away. I would not touch those things because I knew the power it had in my life. Now, in the last number of years, you know, I'll pick one up in the parking lot and throw it in the garbage, but then I wash my hand, you know. But I had to lay that down and push it away and not let it come close to me ever again because I would be tempted. But there's another very important meaning to this word that James uses. In the New Testament, the same word was often used to describe someone who was taking off their dirty clothes at the end of a day, all right? So let me ask you, what do you usually do with your dirty clothes at the end of a day? Anybody? Hamper. All right, if somebody didn't hear that, you take them off and you throw them in the dirty clothes hamper, right? Right. Just like you wouldn't go to bed wearing dirty clothes at night, right? I hope. Neither should we go about our Christian life continuing to do those things that halt our growth and hinder us in our knowledge of Him. You have to deal with those roadblocks. One thing I've learned, if you don't deal with the things in your life when you get saved, if you don't yield to dealing with them as you continue to be sanctified in your walk with the Lord, that thing will get up and bite you. Amen? You know, if you had trouble in an area and you didn't deal with it, you didn't get it all laid out and before the Lord and forsake it and push it away, it will jump up and bite you. And then you know who knows? Everybody. Everybody. But you have to deal with those roadblocks just like an old set of filthy clothes, okay? You have to decide to get rid of them. James 1:21 could be interpreted like this. You must make the choice. And this is so much of the Christian life. You must make the choice. But it says, you must make the choice, or it could be interpreted like this. You must make the choice to remove those filthy, stinking garments from your life. To permanently lay them down and then deliberately push them out of your reach forever. Forever. But there's another thing about this. It's also important to realize that dirty clothes, now this is going to sound kind of weird, but they don't just fall off your body by accident. Amen? In other words, it doesn't just magically happen. Please hear me. Dirty clothes don't automatically come off your body just because they are dirty. In fact, when they're dirty, they kind of cling to you. Ooh, that's something else I could preach on. But in order to get them off, you have to push the buttons through the buttonholes and unzip the zippers and take the clothes off your arms and legs one at a time, more so as you get older. You're waking up. And this is exactly, okay, this is exactly what James has in mind when he tells you and I to lay apart or get rid of all filthiness from our life. We are to decide to set them aside, all right? Set them aside and push them out of our reach so we won't be tempted to put them back on. Because guys get up in the morning and I could probably wear that shirt again. That means I don't have to go to the closet and get one out. Take care of the hanger. Sometimes guys are tempted to just put them back on. They were fine yesterday, right? But we have to push these things out of our lives and out of our reach so we won't be tempted to put them back on. And I remember what it says in Romans 13, 14. And it says this, but put on, and we're talking about taking clothes off, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ. And in doing that, it says, and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts. The truth is, you know, it's Jesus we should be wearing and what people should be seeing in our lives. Amen? It's Jesus. Are you with me? You understand what I'm saying? Now, I believe that somebody needed to hear that today. I really do. And I don't know who it is, but there you are, okay? But I said all of that just to say this. The promises of God activate when we participate. Amen. Amen? The promises of God activate when we participate. And when we participate, we can anticipate his promises, his provision, and his protection, according to Psalm 91. And it's true, and please hear me how I'm going to say that. God empowers us, okay? But he also enables us, because many times he won't do it for us. Oh, come on. He empowers us. He gives us the power we need. But he also enables us, makes us able to do what we have to do. Because many times he doesn't do it for us because we only learn when we do it ourselves. Amen. Psalm 91 is a good example of that. The psalm's empowering and it's enabling. But we have to decide to take action and do what it instructs us to do. This last 9 weeks of me preaching to you about Psalm 91, maybe you've liked it, maybe you haven't, but if you've liked it, it would be better if you would do it and not just let it be in the back of your notebook, never to be read again. Now back to verse 15 of Psalm 91. In verse 15, God goes on to say, this is talking about us, okay? He is us. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. Glory to God. I will be with him in trouble. And not only that, you know what? I will deliver him, and I'll honor him. In Hebrew, the phrase, he shall call upon me, means to call or to proclaim or to read, all right? In the context of the psalm, it's as if God is saying to you and I, the one who calls out to me and proclaims my promises back to me, I will in turn answer them. In Hebrew, the phrase, I will answer him, literally means I will respond to him, okay? And he's making a promise there that he will respond to us. You see, when the Lord's protective promises are in your mouth and coming out of your mouth, and you're abiding in fellowship with him, he will cause his promises to be activated and come to pass in your life. That means we have a part to play in this. And please don't ever think that that is not true. I know some schools of belief believe it's all God. But I happen to believe that it's all God and it's all us. Amen? I mean, we have a part to play in it. Now, that's good stuff. That's good stuff that his promises can be activated in your life, and all you have to do is speak them out of your mouth. Well, and the Lord then promises to you and I this, I will be with him in trouble. Wow, that's a big one. Amen. What's interesting here is that the original text states this much stronger than it's translated for us. It states, with him I will be, okay? He's making like a declaration, a statement of fact, you know. With him I will be. And I love this. It's like God is specifically giving us this guarantee that he is with those who love him and are experiencing hard times, difficulty, no matter how hard, no matter how difficult. Amen? You ought to get excited here. I mean, the phrase in trouble is a translation of a word meaning to be in adversity. Have you ever been in adversity? Come on. How about this? Have you ever been in difficulty? Ever in distress or tribulation? I mean, how many of you can identify with that? Some of us seem to have that happen to us every day. Amen? And others of us, we don't have it happen all that often, but when it does, it's terrible. But God says, I am with that person. I'm there. It's amazing. But by abiding in the shadow of the Almighty, if you're going through these things and knowing his name and who he is, it's then that God promises to be with us in trouble, and he goes on to proclaim, I'll be with him in trouble. You know what else? I'll deliver him. Amen. Not, maybe I'll let him sit in this stuff a little longer to learn it a little better. What do you think, Jesus? I think that's a good idea, Dad. He says, I will deliver him. How many of you have ever been in a situation where you just plain need deliverance? I'm not talking about from something demonic, or maybe I am, okay? But you need deliverance. You need somebody just to come in and get you out of there. Amen? Well, that's God, all right? That's God. In Hebrew, the phrase, I will deliver him, means God will draw us out of the situation, and he will deliver us or loosen us from our bonds. Many times we get put in bondage, we get bound up by things that the enemy comes against us with, maybe the way that we react to things. But you know what? He says, I'll deliver you. I'll take care of it. If you're in trouble, you're in distress, and you realize that you need me, consider it done. Consider it done. And then the Lord adds this, it just blows me away. I will honor him. Just that in itself is difficult to grasp. You know, I will honor him. Interestingly, the word honor means to be heavy or weighty. So this passage pictures one who is heavily loaded with honor. So what this is saying to us is that God greatly honors the one who abides in his shadow and sets his love and affection on him. He greatly honors that person. I don't know about you, but I'm thinking, you know, why in the world would he honor me? But he does. And you. But he does. How do I know he does? His word says he does. That's right. Now, Psalm 91 closes in verse 16 with the Lord making this declaration. He says, with long life I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. His salvation? Let's go back to the word long, with long life. The word long here is a translation, again, of a Hebrew word that speaks of length, so it implies longevity, okay? And the word life denotes, guess what, days, okay? So this phrase, with long life, depicts long days or a very long life, that he'll give us that. He will satisfy us with that. But again, the Lord says, with long life will I satisfy him. The words, I will satisfy him, mean to have enough, or to have plenty of, or to be fully satisfied. You know, I have found that when I give my heart fully to the Lord, and there are days, come on, there are days when you give your life more fully to the Lord than other days. Amen. There are days when he is the first thing on your mind when you get up and the last thing on your mind when you go to bed. And in between, all you do is have fellowship with him. And then there are days when you don't even think about him. You don't even think that he could help you in a situation that you are going through. You just lean on your experience. God's final words in Psalm 91:16 are this. He says he's going to, and show him my salvation. In Hebrew, the phrase, and show him, means to behold or to experience or see or to fully view. This infers a full demonstration, and in context of this verse, it's the equivalent of God saying this to us. To one living in my shadow and staying close to me and who knows my name, I will fully demonstrate all of my salvation. In other words, they will see and they will experience every aspect of salvation. This brings us to the word salvation, which in Hebrew includes every form of salvation, okay? Well, you're saying I didn't really realize there were different things in salvation. There are. So the salvation that God is speaking of isn't about just being saved and going to heaven. Come on. It's about experiencing all of his life-giving blessings in this present life as well. See, now that ought to make you excited. That ought to make you praise the Lord this morning, that you could experience all of his salvation right here, right now. Oh, but I'm going through such trouble. But you can experience all of his salvation. Oh, but life is so hard. But you can experience all of his salvation. All you have to do is what? Dwell in the shadow. Stay in step. Stay in his presence. Amen. Do you want to know what salvation includes? And I'm just going to touch on it. It includes deliverance. Amen? It includes help and healing, preservation and prosperity and protection. It involves victory. It's salvation, it's safety and redemption and rescue. You can be rescued by Jesus, by the Father. And it's wholeness. How many of you have thought about, it would just be nice if I could be whole? You can be. Come on, say I can be. It means well-being in body and mind and spirit and overall welfare that touches every area of your life. I mean, glory to God, salvation. We're going to experience his salvation, all of his salvation and what that entails. And all, say all. All the promises of Psalm 91 belong to the one who chooses to abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I don't think you'll ever be able to forget that because I say that so much every Sunday. But it's for anyone who knows God and who knows his name and proclaims his promises to him. To him. So I don't know about you, but I would say that it's only wise, right? It's only wise for you and I to make the decision, make the choice, to live in step with the Lord, dwelling in his presence daily and putting his promises in our mouth and speaking them to the Lord and over our lives. Amen? I mean, doesn't that just make sense? You know, this brings all of this to a close. I swear I could go back to verse 1 and start preaching all over again and give you different things. There is so much that is in this one psalm. But I want to stand together right now and make a full personalized declaration of Psalm 91, okay? And what we're going to do by doing this, and you probably know this by now, is we're going to speak it how? To the Lord, okay? We're going to speak it to the Lord. Now, I see all of you getting up like this. Oh, man, he's having me stand up again. Y'all be glad I'm not Catholic. I'd have you kneeling and standing. And But I see you all kind of weary from the time change. I understand. Doesn't make any sense, but I still understand, okay? But I want you to be excited over what we're going to say. What I really don't want to hear is this, and this maybe just, but humor me, okay? Just humor me. I will dwell in the secret place of the Most High. I abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Do you get what I'm trying to say? Say it like you believe it. Say it like you understand that it's going to do something in your life. Because you are speaking to the Lord his promises. Amen? And from what you've just learned, that makes all the difference in the world. All right? Okay, here we go. I dwell in the secret place of the Most High.
Dwell in the secret place of the Most High.
And I abide under the shadow of the Almighty, I will say to the Lord, you are my refuge in my fortress. My God, in you I trust. Surely you should deliver me from the snare of the fowler. And from the perilous pestilence. Praise God. You cover me with your feathers. You put me safely under your wing. Your truth is my shield. And my buckler. A little bit more to go now, so just kind of get some air in your lungs, all right?
I will not fear
pestilence that walks in darkness.
I will not fear
destruction that wastes at noonday. I have made the Lord my refuge.
I have made the Most High my habitation.
I love this. No evil shall befall me. Say that again. No evil shall befall me.
Nor shall any plague come near my dwelling.
Why? For he shall give his angels charge over me. To keep me in all my ways. In their hands they shall bear me up. Lest I dash my foot against a stone. Take another breath. I shall tread upon the lion and the cobra. The young lion and the serpent I shall trample underfoot. Because he has set his love upon me.
Therefore he
will deliver me.
He will set me on high
because he has known my name.
I shall call upon him
and he will answer me.
He will be with me in trouble.
He will deliver me
and honor me.
With long life, he will satisfy me
and show me his salvation.
Glory to God. Give the Lord a hand clap. Praise him. Shout to him. Dance. I don't care what you do, but show him you appreciate what he's done for you in one of the 150 psalms. One of them. He gives promises to us. Good thing you're not sitting around the altar right now. He provides for us. He gives promises to us. He provides for us. And he protects us. And glory to God, he prospers us. We truly are complete in him if we reach out and grab it. And the scripture that comes to my mind that rings so true in this is found in 2 Peter 1, 3, and 4. It says this, as his divine power is given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises. We have just had 9 weeks of exceedingly great and precious promises. That through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Amen?
Amen.
You know, I think we're all, to a degree, dedicated to our own success. There's only one who is more dedicated to see us succeed, and that's our Creator. That in itself is just amazing to me. because I can be pretty dedicated to myself. But he is even more dedicated by the fact that he never leaves you nor forsakes you. That means when you're, even when you're talking bad about him, and you know what I'm talking about, he doesn't leave. And he loves you just as much. I just stand in awe in what has been the little bits of what I've told you about Psalm 91. And I want to just encourage you that as this is done, you know, if you some people say this to me, I pray every day, but I just can't think of things to pray about. Well, okay. Go to Psalm 91 and pray that. Amen. Speak that to the Lord. Amen. That'll take a while because you should probably get lost every once in a while and go into detail. Okay. Why don't you bow your heads with me?